Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program. Our music expert, Gary Graff. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
All right. How are you doing?
I am dying to know, is Seager still a 5, 6, 7, 8 night sellout in Detroit when he's playing there?
I don't know if we get to 8, 9, but I think 5, 6 is for sure. And I think depending on where he plays, you know, talking about the arena or the big amphitheater or something, you know, I don't know. Obviously, if he were to do something like a 5,000-seat theater, he'd probably do 30 nights.
Right, exactly. So where was he last night?
Last night he was in Saginaw. They picked up what is called the final tour, and that he swears will be his final tour. They resumed after a 12-day holiday break in Saginaw, Michigan, at the Dow Event Center. And I know the show is coming to Milwaukee on January 24th, and it is, you know, and I'm saying this as a compliment, but as the song says, it's still the same. You know, Seager and the Silver
Bullet. Well, that's good.
Seager and the Silver Bullet Band, they hit the stage, and they play a good, straightforward, meat and potatoes kind of rock and roll show. Lots of favorites, as if there wouldn't be. Last night, there were a couple of surprises. He opened up with Long Twin Silver Line, which is from the Against the Wind album, and played another Against the Wind track, No Man's Land, for the first time ever. That he's
really?
Played it live, and he explained during the show that, you know, since I'm retiring soon, I'm starting to pull out these songs that I've never played or seldom played. I know he opened a couple of shows before the holiday break with Shakedown, which he'd never played on stage before, and is his only number one hit. So he's clearly, you know, he's clearly reaching a little, but yeah, you'll still hear old time rock and roll and Night Moves, Against the Wind, Hollywood Nights, you know, those songs that he has to play and that everybody wants to hear.
Shakedown, that was from what movie soundtrack?
That was from Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Yes, exactly.
And he also
does
a nice thing. He plays a version of Bob Dylan's Forever Young as kind of an homage, primarily to Glenn Frey, who, of course, was his good buddy, but he also includes photos of a number of other people who have passed away that he felt some kinship with, including Tom Petty and Prince, Leonard Cohen, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Greg Allman, B.B. King, Chuck Berry.
Did Seager ever do a show in the Silver Dome?
Yes, he did one back.
What's the Silver Dome doing now?
The Silver Dome has been imploded.
Yeah.
Right. Have they just left it in its dilapidated state now? Or is it?
Well, it's a pile of rubble that they're gradually getting rid of. There are no firm plans for that site yet, though.
Really? Okay.
That was a historic building. Hosted a Super Bowl.
Seager's going to be at
a lot of big rock shows.
Yeah.
Seager's going to be at the Fiserv Forum, like you said, January 24th. And on January 25th, I will deliver a subpar performance here on the Bob and Brian Show because I'm going on the 24th.
No one will notice.
Oh,
but
it's okay.
But it
Thank
won't,
you. Good.
It,
Lucky
it
me.
But it won't be your
Well,
it won't
see,
be
that's
your
the upside
of never being good.
Well, that's the upside to never trying or being good, right? Exactly. On a more sad note, we have a few deaths this week, Gary.
Yeah, this was this has been a kind of a tough start to the new year with a number of music-related deaths, maybe the biggest being Daryl Dragon, who you better know as the Captain from Captain and Tennille. Say what you will about them. He was a very, you know, as a group, he himself was a very accomplished musician who worked with the Beach Boys and Neil Sedaka and a number of others, you know, a really good keyboard player and arranger. Just a good artist. He passed
the
away.
Captain part was the captain of the keyboards, right? I mean,
yeah,
that was his
true.
Sort of odd title.
Yeah, that's where the nickname came from.
But
Ray Sawyer, who was one of the singers in Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show, Sylvia's mother, cover of a Rolling Stone, only 16. You know, he passed away as well. He was 81, passed away on New Year's Eve. Peggy Young, Neil Young's ex-wife, passed away on New Year's Day. After a bout with cancer, we also lost Jan Arden, singer-songwriter, Mike Taylor, a.k.a.
Jan Arden, what was her big hit? She had a song.
She really had a hit.
One in the 90s. Jan Arden, I have the CD at home.
Yeah, if you like music and paid attention to her, she made a lot of good music. I don't know that she ever had anything we'd call a real hit, though.
But she was part. But wasn't she?
You two argue it out.
No, we're gonna. Gary and I are gonna slug this out. Yeah. I think, wasn't she part of Lilith Fair? She
oh,
was
yeah.
on that.
Yeah, she played on it. She was one of, well, she was that kind of forebear in every year.
Does that make it her hit?
She's right in there with Meredith Brooks and Paula Cole. Mm-hmm. She's part of that group.
Alanis Morris.
Alanis, no, she had a couple of big albums.
Yeah, and she's Jan Arden is what you call kind of an older sister. You know, to those kind of acts. You're probably thinking of it could be Insensitive or Could I Be Your Girl?
Insensitive, I think it was.
Yeah,
yes.
I think that was the one that made the most impact. I know it was on movie soundtracks.
Okay, thank you.
We also lost Mike Taylor, a.k.a. the Beard Guy from Walk Off the Earth. Bob Einstein, of course, from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah, but Super Dave Osborne.
We have not yet lost Olivia Newton-John. There were some rumors, heavy rumors, late in 2018. That she had just weeks to live, and she posted a New Year's message online saying, you know, hi, it's me. The rumors of my death have been greatly exaggerated. She says she's doing well.
But she's had health problems, right?
For a new round of cancer, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Lou Gramm is retiring. He's still with us, but he's calling it quits, right?
He is. He announced after, I think, his show was on December 29th, that would be his final show as a solo artist. He's still going to do these occasional foreigner shows. You know, they get together a couple times a year. They get the surviving members of the original lineup together and do some songs. And he's also part of the Rock Pack, which has a bunch of other singers in it. And they he does a handful of songs during those shows.
How does Lou sound? I know I ask you this all the time, but is he still like I remember him from Feels Like the First Time and Urgent?
He's not what you remember. Although I will say that when I did see one of those Foreigner reunion dates in the fall of 2017, I was impressed and surprised at how he sounded. He had clearly prepared himself for that gig. Foreigner, by the way, if you're a fan, they've done a new version of I Want to Know What Love Is, along with a video, and it's available for download with proceeds going to 22 medical centers that they've designated around the country. And these are medical centers, you know, specifically for children in need, you know, in financial need. So they're helping out and doing a solid that way.
Hey, tick down these three news items about Jimi Hendrix, Pink Floyd, and Mick Jagger. They all sort of seem like they belong in a bunch to me because it's about... Our changing culture, really.
The classic Rock Pack, sure. And I'll add Queen to this, just because there's some new news there. But starting with Jimi Hendrix, the post office in Benton Highlands, part of Washington State, which is where he's from, has been renamed the James Marshall Jimi Hendrix Post Office.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you can now get your stamp there.
imagine that 40 years ago.
And, if you buy the stamps, you have to lick... You have to lick. Lord knows what's going to happen to you.
Nobody licks stamps anymore, do they?
Nobody does.
No, they're just all
anymore,
peel off.
If they try to sell you one to lick, be wary.
Yeah,
that's all
right.
I can say. Nick Mason, drummer from Pink Floyd, he was on Queen Elizabeth's New Year's Honors list for services to music. He's getting a Commander of the Most Excellent Order of the British Empire, which we know better as CBE. He's not the first Pink Floyd member to receive that. David Gilmour. Also got one of those. And Nick Mason, of course, is going to be out on the road next year with a kind of Pink Floyd. I don't know if it's a tribute show, if it's somebody who's actually in the band, but it's a show of all the early, like, Syd Barrett era Pink Floyd material. He's curating a new ballet. It's going to be choreographed by his new girlfriend, Melina Hamrick. I think curating is a buzzword for financing. And he's doing that. I guess he has some creative input, but he's busy getting ready for the Rolling Stones next tour, so I don't know.
Yeah, just imagine 40 years ago, you're looking at Jimi Hendrix and saying, yeah, name a post office after that guy, and then that guy over there is going to do the ballet.
Yeah, I know.
And then those other guys, he's going to get the knighthood.
Is the royal, the award that Nick Mason's getting, is that as high as being knighted, or is that below?
But in some cases, a precursor, like a lot of people who have been knighted, like Paul McCartney and Mick Jagger and a number of others, have gotten CBEs first.
And now, so just because just because we've worked with you for some time, I know this. I wouldn't know this otherwise. Sly Stone was an odd fella, right?
Oh, a little bit.
But now they're doing a documentary on him, so I'm thinking I probably want to see this just because talked about him.
I mean, we all like to see a train wreck, for starters. But this one in particular we're interested in because he bought into it and is you know submitted to interviews and things like that. There's no word yet on when this is going to be out, but it is in process. He has done interviews for it, and you know, we'll see. They're saying it's going to come out this year. Now of course I'm blanking, but the clothes guy, clothes designer, who's really
clothes designer,
a rock and roll. John Varvatos, sorry.
Oh, okay.
He's involved in this, in producing it, and we'll see. We'll see if it makes it out. You know, as all things with Sly Stone, my bet is once it nears completion or nears release, he has a very active legal team. You know, that's made sure he hasn't been
cut off.
So I suspect there may be, you know, they may want to look-see at it before, you know, to make sure that, if he's involved in it, they're going to want to make sure it's something they want.
All right, let me get this, make sure I'm straight on this. He started out as a Detroit DJ, right?
I thought it was San Francisco DJ.
Okay, San Francisco put together a band, right?
Right.
Had great hits. I mean, their hits were big hits.
Oh yeah,
they were really good.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then he just kind of drove off the rails, right?
Pretty much.
You
know, victim. You know, he's a victim of poor choices. Let's put it that
way. Okay. Well,
and, those choices, you know, affected his personality, his functionality, and everything. And you know, people who you remember his Grammy performance? There was a tribute. Sly Stone tribute. Nobody knew if he was going to show up for it or not, and he comes traipsing on stage in some, you know, get up that looked like he just arrived from Mars. He stuck around for a few seconds and then kind of trotted off.
Thanks
and you could
lot.
See everybody who was all these musicians, and it was like an all-star group. I remember that, and you could see them just looking like, "What happened? What just happened here?"
Yeah, this might be worth a look. I'm serious. This might be one of your better documentaries, Sly Stone.
He's definitely a subject, you know, for it.
Just because I want to say Bootsy Collins. Let's talk about Bootsy for a second before we wrap this up.
I actually just saw, he made a guest appearance at a show here in Detroit just before the holidays. He announced on his Facebook page he's done playing bass. You know, Bootsy was known as a bass player. He played with James Brown's band. He played with Parliament Funkadelic, and of course he had his own groups, but he's, you know, he basically says it's kind of doctor's orders, which, you know, I think that's code word for probably carpal tunnel or, you know, something else. So he says he's going to dedicate his time to coaching up and coming musicians and working with them. You know, I mean, he was one of the great bass players, you know, in any list of the top 10, you know, you were likely to find Bootsy's name in there.
All right, Eric, get ready to walk us out with Oom-Bop, but first, this July, 50 years since we landed on the moon, and then in August?
In August, Woodstock, and so at the Bethel Performing Arts Center, which is on the original Woodstock site, they've announced that the weekend of August 16th through 18th, they will hold 3 days of events, you know, concerts, seminars, and there's a music out there there's a museum out there that people will be able to visit. The Woodstock Ventures, which are the people who put on the original Woodstock Festival, are planning their own 50th anniversary festival at a much larger site, but they have voiced full support for the Bethel people and whatever endeavors they're going to do. I did, by the way, speak with Roger Daltrey recently, and he told me that Who will not be taking part in any of this stuff.
No.
But Carlos Santana told me he's already hooked up with both of these, you know, Woodstock.
I just saw an episode of Hotel Impossible where a guy at Woodstock had like a resort, and it was terrible. It was awful. All the little cottages you could rent like just had urine on the floor and mice and raccoons and everything.
Well, that whole area just got raked. you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was a couple years ago they did that episode. We didn't have time to
And since there's no Spice Girls news, we go out with Hanson.
Taylor Hanson.
And Taylor Hanson, child number six, has arrived. You know, he has kids from 16 down to now a couple weeks old. You know, he and his wife just love kids, love having family.
He's so a family guy.
And that. He hit this.
Meanwhile, Kanye and Kim, yeah, Kanye West and Kim Kardashian, yep. They're expecting number four, they announced.
Yeah, that's a surrogate mother. Hanson, how old was he? How old was Taylor when they hit the scene?
Well, he's like 38 now, and he's got a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
12?
He might be. He might be younger than 38.
Yeah. Right.
But he's a kid.
You know, but I'm glad we started with death, and we could go out with life. He's 35.
There we go.
Wow.
That's
you're
a
right.
nice couple of bookends.
All right.
Taylor's 35.
And Hanson in the background, no less.
Yeah,
Gary.
Yeah.
Thanks for the time this morning. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great.